Nobody said a lame duck Congress had to be all that lame. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Congress is back in session today for the first time since the midterm elections. This is what's known as a lame duck session. The folks who lost are going to stick around until January, when the new Congress, elected in the midterms, takes over. But there is a lot on the agenda for this lame duck Congress. For example, avoiding a government shutdown. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
Money for some government agencies runs out December 7th. Molly Reynolds, a fellow at the Brookings Institution, says Congress and the White House need to reach an agreement on funding for President Trump's border wall to keep the government open. Reynolds spoke with me over Skype.
And if the president threatens to veto a bill that doesn't have what he wants for the wall and is willing to follow through on that, I think we could see a shutdown.
It would only be a partial government shutdown, though. Congress has already passed about half the spending bills needed to keep the government running. Assuming the whole government stays open, there is other stuff on Congress's plate, like the Farm Bill. It authorizes money for things like food stamps, also called SNAP. Sarah Binder teaches political science at George Washington University. She says Republicans want stricter work requirements and eligibility rules for SNAP.
I think if Republicans insist on these tougher provisions, Democrats will say no ball and everything will be kicked to the new Congress.
Where they'd pretty much have to start the Farm Bill negotiations all over again. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's take a look at the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 5 to 8 tenths percent range, with the Dow future up 117 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.17%. Two top Canadian economic officials just ended a four-day trip to Beijing to discuss a possible free trade deal. This is despite the fact that the trade deal Canada just signed with the U.S. and Mexico warns against doing just that. Marketplace's Renata Sago has more.
The last time Canada began formal trade talks with China was last year, and those talks were unsuccessful. Canadian officials are taking a different approach this go-round by focusing on key sectors. For example, Canada says it wants to double its agricultural exports to China to $75 billion in the next 7 years. The concern here are the consequences a stronger relationship between Canada and China would have on Canada's other partners, the U.S. and Mexico. The new NAFTA deal says that if Canada, the U.S., or Mexico wants to pursue a free trade deal with a government-controlled economy like China, it has to notify the other two countries. And if it does complete that trade deal, the other two countries can leave NAFTA in 6 months and form their own bilateral deal. But FYI, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau made it clear this clause would not stop his officials from trying to build deals with China.
Marketplace's Renata Sago, thanks.
John in Minneapolis, Minnesota, wrote to say how much he enjoys our coverage of the economy and that Marketplace helps him make strong arguments and combat misinformation about financial matters. To join John in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible.
Almost 10 years ago, in the thick of the financial crisis, the big three automakers came to Congress and asked for help, a bailout. Car sales at the time were plummeting, layoffs were soaring, and economists were predicting a chain reaction collapse of automakers, parts suppliers, and dealers across the country if GM and Chrysler weren't saved. The government spent $80 billion saving these companies, and it has since been repaid with interest. The bailout saved a lot of auto plants and jobs across the upper Midwest, but not everywhere, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports in the next installment of our year-long Divided Decade project.
In late 2008, 2 days before Christmas, General Motors shut down its huge SUV assembly plant near Dayton, Ohio, as it tried to ward off bankruptcy. 1,000 union workers lost their jobs.
It was a huge hit to that community.
Christy Tanner coordinates economic development at Jobs Ohio.
They rallied together in an effort to save the facility and not have it torn down like many of the other GM facilities. And fortunately for them, that paid off.
And the new owner, Fuyao, China's biggest auto glass supplier. Fuyao America President Jeff Liu says in 2014, the company took possession of 2 million square feet of vacant industrial land.
this plant is like a turn to the junkyard, but, you know, we work with Ohio. The government gave us a lot of incentives, so we bring this back to life again.
Liu says the company invested $500 million and now has 2,300 employees. Production technician Andrew Ma showed me around.
Here, we have over 300 robots on the floor.
Would a Fuyao factory in China have the same equipment?
We are more advanced than most of facility in China.
Ma says there's more automation to save money on labor. The company pays much higher wages in the U.S. than it does in China. Though Fuyao's wages in Dayton, nearly $15 an hour to $17 an hour, are still significantly lower than union auto workers were making at the old GM plant, about $5 to $10 an hour lower. The UAW has been trying to organize the Fuyao plant, which was represented under GM by an electrical union, advocating for worker safety and higher pay. A union vote here failed last year by 2-1. The UAW didn't make a spokesman available to speak with us in Dayton. Bruce Baumhauer is president of the UAW local in Toledo, Ohio, which has organized half a dozen parts suppliers.
We're trying to get them all comparable, depending on what component they're making. We've improved all those companies, probably $4 to $5 an hour minimum.
Rodney Bricky worked at GM until it shut down. He's now a manager for Fuyao.
Kind of strikes home when, even with it being union jobs and everything else, it still wasn't protected.
Liu says the auto glass maker is paying competitive wages for the region. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.